Welcome to a Come Follow Me podcast, everybody. We are so excited to have you with us. This is a podcast for seminary teachers by seminary teachers as we discuss the Come Follow Me curriculum and what it might look like in our classrooms.
Oh, yeah, you got that. All right. What's up, my friend? It's been a while.
We're we're back, baby.
We are back.
You spent some time on a bike?
Spent a lot of time on a bike.
Did you get your bike back?
Yeah. It came yesterday. I had to go to the airport. And when I went to the airport to pick it up, I asked if there was any compensation. And she's like, oh, for sure. You need to submit a form to AA.com. And she says, you'll probably get vouchers, which I'm trying to like manage my expectations. But when she says vouchers, it makes me think free plane tickets. Isn't that what that sounds like?
You might mean $75.
Yeah, she's like, you'll get free vouchers for $25 for your troubles.
Oh. Or the peanuts that come on the air.
Yeah. Anyway, yep. Got the bike. Haken's bike got put together. Don't tell him, but I did go on a bike ride this morning on his bike just to test it out, you know.
Oh, his new bike. Yeah.
Yeah, the bike that came a day too late. That one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and it's fast, man. That puppy's fast.
Would have been nice.
Well, it's heavy though. It's actually quite a bit heavier than my bike. And we were doing a lot of climbing. Those aero bikes are not the best for going over three mountain passes on your way to Jackson Hole. So, you know, whatever. Well, I do feel bad that we didn't get together last week because I wanted to hear how your doctrinal mastery adventure has been going.
Oh, I can update you.
Update us. What's
been happening? We've covered three doctrinal mastery scriptures. I am surprised at how well the kids know the phrases. I don't know if they have the scriptures memorized, all of them, like word for word, the whole thing.
But they're learning the key phrases.
I can bring up the beginning of any of the three key phrases, and they've got it pretty good. And I think if I say to a kid, give me the gist of Isaiah 5:20, like not only what is that saying, but what does that help us with? I bet a lot of my kids, maybe most of my kids, can do a good job of explaining, oh, that's, you know, talking about that people will twist the difference between right things and wrong things. And we probably need that these days because it's not always easy to tell the difference between the two and things that used to be, you know, I mean, I think they would do a decent job of explaining. So what I've been doing is just the beginning day of the week. So it's Monday. We have a whole lesson on it, you know,
that doctrine mastery verse.
And we do everything kind of but the memorization, but we practice things. We practiced,
so you're doing it all on one day.
No, we're just doing a lot. Well, yeah, no, I mean we're doing all of it except memorization on one day and then doing something with it every day all week.
Oh, so like, give me an example of something you do on the off doctrinal mastery day for memorization. Like, what's that look like?
For memorization, I'll just, you know, put something up on the screen that has some of the words taken out or almost all the words taken out or something like that. We'll kind of repeat it out loud type of thing. I might show them a quote and say, here's something Sister Johnson taught last conference or whatever. And then I'll ask them, which doctrinal mastery scripture is she seem to be talking about? And she's not quoting it or anything. So I'm just trying to help them see the idea in other places, right?
Okay.
Or a situation and say, which doctrinal mastery scripture gives us a little clarity on this?
Yeah. So you're not doing the whole rote memorization thing. You're more just trying to help them see a little bit of that, but more of a connect it to ideas. Ways of thinking. So far they have been pretty easy. Like, did you start with Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, or did you start with Isaiah 1, 18?
Yeah, we did Proverbs 3, Isaiah 1, and then Isaiah 5.
Yeah, those three have been, I mean, for my family, have been kind of easy. Like, Proverbs 3, we've been kind of talking about all year, Isaiah 1 and Isaiah 5 are both just kind of short, multiple couplet ideas that are kind of easy.
Kind I'm looking poetic.
Yeah, very poetic. But now I'm looking at Isaiah 29 that's coming, and this one's a little bit more of a doozy. Although, again, it's first vision language. They draw near with me.
And I don't need them to memorize this whole thing. I want them memorizing the power phrase in there.
The marvelous work and a wonder kind of an idea. Yeah. Are you introducing that one this current week since it's Isaiah kind of 13 through 35, or are you saving that for next week, even though it's Isaiah 40 through 49?
Well, so we don't have school tomorrow. So next Monday.
So that is what it is.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And I'm looking at the pacing guide that I've given the teachers. And basically I did Isaiah 5:20 on Monday, know the doctrine, Isaiah 5:20 practice on Wednesday. And then I did Isaiah 29, know the doctrine for Friday. And most of you are not going to listen to this until after that. And then I've got Isaiah 29 practice on Monday, September 19th. But if you didn't do the one on Friday, you've got time this next week to do it, because Isaiah 40 through 49, you just got a series of lessons going on through there. Let me ask you about how Isaiah has been going. What, anything you can report on how your students are handling? We're now going to go into week three of Isaiah.
Yeah. So what I've been doing is really emphasizing prophetic dualism, that like, yes, Isaiah may have been talking about Lucifer, Satan, but he was probably actually talking about the king of Babylon, a guy with a face and a family and whatever.
The contemporary situation.
So we just talked about that prophetic dualistic nature of that. You know, Isaiah may have been talking just about the king of Babylon. He may have been talking about Satan a lot and used the king of Babylon to do it. And he may have been talking about both. And he may not have known he was talking about one when he was talking about the other. You know, I don't know what Isaiah knew exactly, what he was thinking, what his intent was. and nor do we need to be overly worried about it. We just need to be aware of it. Yeah. And so I'm also trying to do a little bit, you know, all the other years I've taught this, I've just taken key scriptures and phrases out of Isaiah and just left the context because it
kind of
felt a little confusing to me and certainly more confusing to them. And now I'm like, no, we're doing whole chapters. We're going to do whole chapters for the most part. And I'm going to show you how these verses fit in there. And, you know, anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. I as I've been studying it myself, and obviously I'm not teaching it day to day, like you guys are, it is amazing to like, I've keyed really into parts of Isaiah that are particularly being used in other scripture, particularly restoration scripture. And so, you know, obviously last week, Isaiah 1 through 12, that was all except for one. Isaiah 1 wasn't in the Book of Mormon, but 2 through 12 was all in the Book of Mormon. This week you had 13 and 14, which were also used in that same block. And then, 29 obviously is used in 2 Nephi 27, but big old parts of like 27, 28, this line upon line, precept upon precept, things like that. I'm actually quite surprised. My strange work I was reading today, I was like, wow, that's an Isaiah-ism. Like these things are all over, all over in other scripture. So this upcoming week, I believe all we have that's used in the Book of Mormon is 48 and 49. It's used at the it's at the end of First Nephi. Nephi uses 48 and 49, and then I think a little bit of 50, but that's next week. And so I think we'd be wise to kind of key into how Nephi is using it, in addition to how is Isaiah talking to his contemporaries, how Nephi was using it to liken to his people, and then maybe what it looks like for us today. Have your kids been able to wrap their heads around being on all these different timelines with it?
Yeah, I mean, I've tried to simplify it as much as I can. And I don't know that we're catching all of it or not. I'm really working on and focusing on the Christ-centeredness of things. We did a lot with Isaiah 25, And, you know, Isaiah is saying, I am going to exalt the Lord. You have done a lot of great things and we're going to talk about them. That was great. That ended up being one of the chapters where I gave my students maybe five opportunities to pause for a minute or so and write in their journals. And today, because of the activity we did, I had a number of students say, I loved yesterday's lesson where we had so much time to write in our journals and to write about some of the stuff we've experienced. So it was a surprise and I was grateful to see it. But
And Isaiah 25 lent itself well to that just because it's a praise chapter.
Yeah. And there, you know, it when Isaiah talks about the Lord strengthening the needy and the Lord being a refuge from the storm and a cloud, you know, in hot weather, I just had the kids write a lot about moments when they felt like the Lord has helped them. Who is the Lord put in your life that often serves as, you know, helps with that? Who is the Lord using to help you have a refuge from the storm? Who is the Lord using as a cloud? And how is the Lord using the Holy Ghost and those kinds of things? So there were five instances yesterday where kids took about 2 minutes to just share little different aspects of what Isaiah had described. And it was just good. And then I would have a few share, or sometimes they'd share in their little groups. But
yeah, no. And lest you teachers are thinking, oh, dang, I would have loved to have had that idea last week before Isaiah 25. This is the kind of thing that you could apply to any of our chapters going forward, asking those kind of relevant questions, giving students a chance to write things down, connect themselves to the Savior. That can be done in lots of chapters, not just Isaiah 25.
Yeah. And I had a number of students mention how much they enjoyed that aspect of FSY, how much they used their handbook. And, you know, one of the girls, she's not in my class, she's in another class, I just visited with her. She said, ever since FSY, I don't go to a church meeting without taking notes. I take notes in every church meeting I'm in, and I am getting way more out of all of them because of it. So I just want to, we've just been talking more and more and more about that. I told my students, I can't imagine as a student starting the seminary class without having your notebook open and the date written down and just ready to capture thoughts and ideas and nudges. And
yeah, particularly,
you know, don't worry about whether they're revelation or not. You can figure that out later.
Yeah. If you had students who went to FSY, they should be kind of primed and ready to do that. Yeah. And if they didn't go to FSY this last summer, they're going to do it this summer, and you should prepare them and prime them to do it summer. Yeah. So, you know, this is, I've been kind of going over the teaching in the Savior's Way, the new manual. And in the first part, help learners come into Jesus Christ, and it's the second section of that, help learners recognize the Lord's love, power, and mercy in their lives. It says, it's good to know about the Savior's love, power, and mercy, but we also need to experience it. Seeing how he blessed and helped people in the scriptures helps us develop greater faith that he can bless and heal us. For example, learning about the experience of Daniel is incomplete if it doesn't inspire us to trust the Lord when we face our own figurative den of lions. As you help learners recognize the Lord's tender mercies, both in the scriptures and in their own experience, they will feel and know that the Lord is with them and will lovingly stand by them. So that's basically what you're doing. See it in the scriptures, see examples of it, but now let's pull it out of your own experience. How have you seen something similar that you could call a refuge from the storm? Or maybe you literally had a refuge from the storm, you know?
Yeah.
This is training students how to read their scriptures. I love it. You know, in a similar way, this tonight, I've got my Institute class. And again, this is for a block that has now passed by time students or by time teachers listen to this podcast. But I want to do a very similar thing from Teaching in the Savior's Way, where it talks about how we try to draw our students to the Savior. One of the things it says is, you know, we want to emphasize the example of Christ, which, you know, usually when we try to do that, it takes us to the New Testament almost no matter where we are, because, you know, that's where we see Jesus saying and doing things, you know?
Yeah.
But this one under the titles, teach about the titles, roles, and attributes of Jesus Christ. It says that as you help learners come to know more about the Savior, this goes beyond what he said and did to who he is and what role he desires to play in our lives. That line made me think, okay, so knowing what we know about Christ's character and his attributes, how do we see him in something that doesn't seem to be talking about him at all? You know, so for example, Isaiah 5:20 talks about woe unto those that call evil good, good evil, light for darkness, darkness for light, sweet for bitter, bitter for sweet. No mention of Christ in there. But yet we can still learn something about who Jesus is based on the fact that he really wants to warn us of calling things evil that are good and good evil. So what does that teach us about Christ? And I'm going to try to do some of that with my Institute students, using that as an example that we'll walk through, and then letting them loose into some of these Isaiah chapters. Some of them overtly talk about the Savior, and those are low hanging fruit, I suppose. But some of them may be more, you've got to think about his role and his character and his attributes to then understand. So why is this in here, or what can this do for me? And we'll see.
What does he seem to be wanting to do with his people here? And
right,
what are the implications for us? Yeah.
And that's how you've got to do it if you want to make scripture relevant, you know, if you want to liken it to ourselves. So we'll do a fair amount of practicing with that. I'm going to tackle the Leviathan, actually, because this medieval sea monster beast, whatever, that's mentioned in Isaiah 27, but actually just represents chaos and disorder. You know, it's part of the creation myth that God made order out of chaos. Well, so what does that look like in our lives, knowing what we know about God? How is he destroying chaos? What does that even look like for us? You know, we'll see if they can do it. It'll be interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Well, is there any plans you have for next week? Have you got that far looking forward?
No, I haven't. I haven't got that far. I'll look over the whole week tomorrow. I do see a lot of, pardon me, the way the Lord shepherds, the way the Lord directs, the way the Lord prepares, the way the Lord refines. That's a lot of Isaiah 40 through 49. So again, you have plenty of opportunities for students to ponder their experience with the Savior.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love Isaiah because he does seem to be the no filter prophet. Like, he seems to be going after it, you know, a little bit. He doesn't seem to be very politically correct or that concerned.
Sometimes he's writing to Judah, correcting them. Sometimes he's writing to Israel, correcting them. Sometimes he's writing to Assyria, correcting them. Sometimes he's just like, no, everyone gets some, you know? Like,
yep.
Yeah.
Well, and I am curious because we'll have general conference in 2 weeks. We'll still be in Isaiah by after general conference for another week. I wonder if Isaiah is preparing us. Like, I wonder if it will help prepare us for general conference a little bit more.
Yeah.
As we've been studying the no filter prophet. Exactly. Are you doing anything to prepare for conference this early in the game, or are you going to wait till next week?
I talk about general conference all the time. So I don't know. I mean, when I say I don't have any plans this week, well, we talk about conference just all the time. But then it's the next week that we'll get a little more.
Maybe
let's
spend a
get
day.
A mindset. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's good. I've got on our pacing guide for not next week, but the week after, general conference review from 6 months ago, maybe an invitation for that weekend to put it on kids' radars. But yeah, it just occurs to me that the no filter Isaiah might help us a little bit with our prophets, who I think have tremendous filters and use a lot of restraint in what they maybe could say to us, but don't. But anyway,
yeah.
All right. You got anything else for him?
Nope. I think we've scratched the surface good enough.
I think we have definitely talked about stuff. That's what we've done.
Yes. We've said things and then other stuff.
We said stuff to which you responded to. All right.
All right. Boom.